algunos dicen no, no lo quieren, con la que lo hacen. A mí no me gusta con la que va a ir a la casa, con la que va a ir a la casa. So anything that is about what you can do, that you can do, where you want to come to the end of the day,
Thank you, honourable member. I think the presentation of today basically will be focusing on the progress to date with regard to the strategic interventions that we've announced that we will be focusing on following our strategic planning session last year, and also trying to also respond to the Open General findings in the last annual report. Basically, the presentation will take through all those areas, also the achievements that we've made in the areas where we have not met our target, and I'll also indicate where we are in terms of it. And also, I will also give you in terms of the financial performance, where we are in terms of the performance of the fund. The compensation fund basically is the public entity of the Department of Labor, responsible for the administration of compensation for professional leaders in terms of Act 93 of Quite Examination in 1997. It also provides the fund provides compensation for disablement caused by professional injuries or disease sustained or contracted by workers, or for death resulting from such injuries or causes. It is financed from levies paid by employers. Workers do not contribute to the fund, only employers who are contributing on behalf of the employer. And the fund provides some form of insurance cover against any hardships that may result from injuries or disease contracted during their working life. Basically, our revenue consists of mainly of the annual assessment paid by employers on the basis of a percentage fixed rate for the annual earnings of the workers. So basically, it's a payroll and income, and depending on the industry which you are, you contribute a different percentage. Those in the high incident industries will pay higher, those in the lowest industries will pay much lower contribution. We also have two mutual federations that in our firm, the insurance fund schema, which is basically for the construction industry, and RMA, which is for the mining industry. As a form of a background, I prefer to give you a strategic intent of what our intentions were when we started in the course of the year. I think we did have before the committee and made some presentations and commitments to the things that we wanted to do to turn around the compensation fund. One of the issues that at that point in time that we were bending was the issue of the turnaround time in the processing place and the payment of medical accounts to service providers and doctors in the hospital. As you may be aware, at that point in time, things for doctors and service providers were taking between 3 months to 3 years to pay. And we indicated that we wanted to try to improve that time issue around 3 months. We also identified some issues that were raised by the AG that we wanted to address. And also, we also indicated that we wanted to create and capacitate our financial management area, which was a soft point at the point in time, which I think also came from the 80s finding. And also what we intended to do, in order to address some of the issues, especially issues of the turn of our time. We wanted to revamp our IT system, to introduce a new internet system, the revenue management system, and also to implement the management information system for our community to manage better. We also indicated that we wanted to increase access to compensation services through a process of decentralization. As I indicated in my previous presentation, that we are a centralized organization. All our things are processed in one place in Victoria. And one of the issues was to try to decentralize the processing of claims and payments of major accounts to provinces, much closer to where our service providers and our clients are. We also indicated that we wanted to develop and implement a new and adequate organizational structure that will be able to allow us to manage the organization much better. We also indicated that we wanted to deal with the issue of governance and legislative compliance. In this particular area, basically, we were looking at issues around developing policies that will assist us in managing the organization much better, because, as I indicated in the past, that this area was much lacking, especially the area of financial management, where there were inadequate policies to manage the organization. And also, there were issues around compliance with legislation, PSMA. Point legislation and other relevant stages. We also indicated that we wanted to improve the investment performance of the fund and also to try to address the negative image that the fund has at the moment. So in this effect, full of issues that we indicated that we wanted to address. But I will take you through the following slides to indicate over the number of those issues as to where we are in terms of program. With regard to the internal control environment, we have indicated that in order for us to be able to manage that much better, to be able to account for every cent and money that comes in and out, one of the key issues was to appoint the chief financial officer and also capacitate the finance functions of that organization. And we have indicated that all those things should be finalized before the end of March 2010. And I must indicate that we have already finally capacitated the finance functions. There are small areas where we still need to finish, but I think in a key strategic area, at a top executive level, I have almost completed that. The chief was appointed in October, and also appointed all the three executive managers in finance. I think the slide provides the detail of the other managers that we have appointed. You could see that we've appointed quite a number of managers since April last year. Today I can be comfortable to say that that area is well adapted and the only area where we finally feel is the area of the four internal audit managers, who, because of the delay in appointing the internal audit and chief executive, we're not able to appoint below that. We were waiting for the internal audit chief executive. Since I assumed office, and we are now in the process of finalizing the shortlist and filling those positions. There was also an issue that the AG raised, where he indicated that there were quite a number of suspense accounts that the funds were getting. Here we are talking of areas where, for example, in the area of bank reconciliations, when they were not finalized, a number of amounts which were not reconciled were put in the suspense account. but does not identify either the employer who is paying that money or payment that remains that not linked them to the specific date. So there's quite a number of suspense accounts that we created there, and we needed to clear up all those accounts. And the same point here is to elaborate on those issues that led by them. Today, I must indicate that the suspense account has been reconciled every month and identified items that need to be cleared. And I think of the 86 million that the AG has identified as of February, 85 million of that amount was identified and cleared. We also indicated that we wanted to introduce monitoring and management procedures in order for us to be able to close our books every month and be able to produce financial statements, which was an issue that you should read in the annual report of the compensation plan. But this committee has indicated concern around this particular area of monthly financial statements, which has been available or if available, which were not sufficient. So I must indicate that there's been achievement in that area, and we now have procedures and manuals that we use to ensure that these things have been done on a monthly basis. So I think we can actually progress well in this area. I think the audit that is currently taking place will confirm this achievement. Bank reconciliation. This was one of the issues also that was raised by the AG, that bank records were not up to date, and sometimes were not done on a weekly basis as required by the public finance act. And I must also indicate that this area is now resolved. We do have bank records that have been performed on a monthly basis, and are also being linked to the general ledger. And I'm told that they're also being performed in terms of the general regulation 31.12. And there was also an issue of debtors with credit balances. In this particular area here, the AG has indicated that there are quite a number of employers in the books of the commercial plan who were having credit balance, which means that the fund was owing those employers, because of them owing us. The indication was that those employers were owing, the fund was owing those employers. And I did indicate that the bulk of the problem in that particular area was due to the fact that there were a number of reversals that were done. But the way the commercial fund operates is that you make a provisional assessment, you raise a provisional assessment, and you send an invoice to the fund to say, you owe me 8 million. And then the employer can come back and say, but I don't owe you 8 million. Or sometimes he pays you the 8 million, and then he sends you the final assessment, and then you find that indeed he didn't owe you 8, he owed you 5. So you need to reverse the 8 and collect the amount to the 5 million, and then refund 3 million. So what we found that there quite a number of employers, long outstanding credit balances, and as we speak of today, we're sitting with an amount of 183 million of those that have credit balances. To date, as of the end of February, 40 million was last year, and we also had to bring more additional resources to assist in the capturing of the assessment in order to be able to address that particular area. So my sense here is that it's a partnership area. We're still working on that. Also what we need, the employers must confirm if indeed the amount that are sitting in the books are indeed correct. So it's a process where you need also to verify with the employer through a process of data changes. We also found one thing in terms of the fixed asset register. The ATS indicated that our fixed asset register was not updated timely. That the result is not based reliance on the number that's in the fixed register. This aspect has been achieved to resolve it. We are indicating here that asset verification has been completed by the fund. The fixed asset policy was reduced and finalized. And then we have two buildings, one in Bishop and the compensation house, where and we reflect the correct values in the hydraulic plant. So these buildings have been rebuilt, and I think in the year end, and then end of March 2010, I think we'll be able to come properly to those two buildings. The register has been adjusted in order to be able to balance. So, I think also in appropriate control to introduce the effective management of the register and monthly reconciliation, the GR is being done. So, I'm comfortable that this area is being also readjusted. On the production of monthly financial statements, I think this is happening. The area that we also indicated that the infrastructure issue is very limited, and the same is that there. Here is those employers who have shown over a period of time that their accident rate has been reduced. In order to incentivize them to continue to manage their health and safety, we have a system of merit payments where we give them back an amount of money as an incentive to do that. This has been partially approved, finalized. We have a policy in place. We have identified those employers. An amount was set aside for those employers to take. However, the challenge that was doing is that we wanted to finalize this by the 31st of March. We could not finalize this one due to the fact that we are awaiting bank details from employers for us to be able to pay the money into the bank account. In terms of the speaker requirements, the certain requirements that anybody who tries to pay, they must comply. So, for example, we need to have proof of banking details and also proof that you've been running your bank account for a while. So, the policy. We need to show us that you know that we are not going to pay for the money, for us to be able to pay the money to get our money. So once that process has been verified and approved, that is, whether they keep their payment and accepted. So we will be running a campaign in this area to try to sensitize employers in the context of sending their payment details to the bank. With regards to compliance with legislation, I think we have produced financial policies and they were all approved by EXCO. And what we are now currently doing now, we are now finalizing the computer programming of all the financial and legislative systems. And I can also indicate that we have not done much progress in that area. The two IT systems that we planned to launch at the beginning of April, we could not achieve that. However, a lot of progress has been made here that has actually achieved the sense that we have the two systems that are in place. However, the implementation was just bad because we were due to implement on the 1st of April. And as a result of that, requested that the internal audit must go in and investigate as to whether the fund is ready to go live. And on the basis of the audit findings by our internal audit division, we advise that we don't go live because there were a number of issues that we were not comfortable with that we needed to address before we and whoever that deals with the community funds is sending the intro-physical invoice. Most of the creditors are being achieved. However, we're still pending with regard to the payment of medical accounts due to a number of reasons that are there. However, from the assessment of the work that is there now, I think we are now able to pay most of the service providers to be the bill of payment. Quite a majority of them are paid in that period. Quite a number of those that are still not paid in that period, due to the fact that when we pay an account, sometimes we don't pay a full account, because each account has a number of items on it. And what I picked up is that there are certain items that we don't pay. And unfortunately, our system does not just say one, because there is no provision in our system to say. If you are claiming 30 rand, and then that debt is 29 rand, for one month of pay, I think that's where the error of contention is with the service provider. Is that different that you are not paying that we are trying to resolve? But most of the amounts, the invoices are coming through are being paid, but we don't pay a full amount because of being paid by the debt and not by what the service provider are having. In terms of the IFRA, when you treat a patient, the treatment codes are gazetted. So the gazette has been confused with the tax. Say, for example, if it's you give me an injection, the fine for an injection is an entity to the patient and not an or analog to the treatment the tablet, or for an operation, it was 20,000. We find that in some instances, because we don't dictate where patients are from. Certain service providers will charge, for example, for shoulder with 1,000 and they can get 20. So who will pay you 20 and only 21? So the quotation becomes the 1,000. Where is my 1,000? So most of the service providers will quotate that are not paid because there's a short payment. And the challenge that we are having in the current IT system, we do not have a report that can ban that thing. For this particular claim, these are the short payments that we've made and this is different and this is different. These things are captured manually. And because of the volume of work that we're going through, we find that in most instances, the written code is not captured for the difference. And that's where the quotation is. And for you to be able to go back and say, you have to go back to the system and run line item by line item. And you need the person who did that capturing to be able to explain why he's saying the same thing. Or you need an experienced person who knows, for example, that for a shoulder they can actually bring up the doctor who wants. So those are some of the challenges of the current system, where he does not explain the reason why he's doing the shoulder. Most of the people with service providers around that area. If I look at the payment profile, you find that most of the payment is taken. But the challenge is those differences that we are having most of the problem. You have also an indication by the AG that do not comply with the international financial reporting standards, IFRA. And the final division has finalized that. Because the template for IFRA has been finalized. And I believe that by the end of this financial year, this issue will no longer be. There's also an issue of the debt scale and index and indexing. I think this issue also came pretty strong during our appearance before COP. It has to do with the filing system. I must indicate that we have upgraded our scaling system. We are still facing a backlog, but it's not as much as it should be in the past. The volumes of the comments have increased there with the new upgrades that we've done, and I believe that once away from the current system that is basically different, we'll be able to overcome this system. But at the moment, it's partially achieved, not to have achieved a climate in that area. But I'm confident that the bulk of the income that the AG will be looking for, I think, within the community provider, as opposed to the past where we will be able to do that. So there are things that we could try to address in that condition. It's quite identical. With regards to the third project, which is the financial management system that indicated here in the other one, that the system has been designed, documented, tested, and followed. However, there were issues that the hotel was in place. For example, they were indicating to me that not sufficient training was done. I think around 50 people were trained on around 600 trained on the system. They believe that training was not sufficient, and they needed more people and more time for those people to be able to be fully contented with the financial system. And also the issue about data migration, the data that needs to move from the old system to the new system. In terms of what it was got for being, that there was a strategy that was in place to be able to satisfy them that the migration would move smoothly, and the indicator is a showstopper. So advise me not to go to the same field. We address those issues. With regards to the claims management system, I think the same issue that we found on the financial system also was the issue of critical one. Training, data migration, and I think on the same system, there was an issue of interface to steps that were not satisfied that it would be completed before March, April 1. And as a result, they also intend that we should not proceed with migration until all those issues are addressed. And I decided that I respect the advice, and we have now projected that our goal life should be in July, and between now and July, all those issues that the general body has raised must be addressed. And I will be requesting the feedback on the conference basis to say, are they comfortable that these issues are fully addressed before the goal life? But my fear here is that if you go live without the certificate from the general body, then anything goes wrong, you will have to come. So I'd rather be much more comfortable. I think you might have experienced with the issue of e-learning when you went live and you were in disaster with other countries. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have to make sure that we don't experience that. And I've also seen this issue, also in the private sector, I've never seen it before. So we went live, and on the day of going live, everything passed. And within 3 months, we lost almost one-third of the people. So IT implementation is very critical. We have to make sure that we move that everything is working. With regard to decentralization, improving access to quite a services, we have indicated in the organization last year that we will decentralize to 4 provinces, which is Limpopo, but Limpopo, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, and so it's 4 years, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape. And I'm comfortable to indicate that that has been fully achieved. We have decentralized access to Limpopo in July last year, and we've also done Free State in KwaZulu-Natal. And we also have a massive project, the largest education taking in the PE. We are intending to migrate that office to East London, where our provincial office is. And we believe that during the course of this financial year, we'll be able to roll out the remaining Cape, Western Cape, Northwest, and Northern Cape, and Pumalanga. So we hope that those many parts will be addressed. However, I can indicate that in those provinces where we have decentralized, you could see that there's been quite a number of things that have come through in the last few months. It was only the report in July, and the remaining 3 weeks in December. So you could see that within a period of 6 months, we made quite a lot of progress there. We paid over amount of over 10 million. And we are now receiving positive feedback from medical providers to say that, for example, in the 3 states, I can speak with confidence that the average turnaround time for adjudication is around 2 and 3 days. So the payment of claims is much done faster in those provinces where we have decentralized. However, we still remain in the rest where we have not done so. But I believe that during the course of this proclamation, we will be able to finalize the decisions. With regards to government fraud and corruption, what we have done here, we have introduced a new draft model for assessment. As I've indicated previously, that the current way of doing assessment has in itself an unintended problem, in that it also mitigates of fraud and corruption. And I indicated to you that, for example, an employer would make a declaration to say, I'm in this particular industry. And one good example I think is fishing. I said, if you're a fishing manufacturer, you just get fish offshore, you are not in the sea, the assessment rate for you would be lower because there is no risk of people going to the sea and being a ship there or being in the nature there, dealing with them. So the rate is lower. But those who are in deep sea fishing, who go right into the deep end of the sea, the rate is higher. But you are in the same industry, fishing industry. But because you are not in the sea of the shore, your rate are different. Most of the employers that will do is that they will come and submit back to us and say, look, my business has changed, I'm not over 60, I'm now I want to revise my rate. And we found that the bulk of the consultants who are helping employers are former employees of the committee, but those who have left and taken time in they found a new employment consultant and advise employers how to reduce, how to improve the payment for compensation and they get commission for that work. So what we have done now, we've introduced a new model that is sort of actually, which we hope to introduce in the financial year 2011. Once we finish the state program consultation, which I think is critical that we need to do that. The model tries to eliminate the incentive for people to try to pay about the rate. We have also done sensitivity testing, which means we try to check whether if this model is put in place, will the fund still generate the same amount of money that was generating previously or less. So that sensitivity testing has been done over 10-year data, and the results that we presented before the police committee in the last 2 weeks has indicated that indeed financially we do not accept much. We'll still be getting the money that we need. We want to finalize the stakeholder consultation. And then if there's need for legislation to be amended, we need to amend the legislation and then start the implementation and start putting 2011 as the period when we intend implementing that. Next slide. Review and rollout of our risk management strategy. I think the strategy has been finalized and is being implemented. I must indicate here that my experience is that much progress has been done in the area of risk management. I think last week, you might have seen in the newspaper the good work that the South African Police and the Hawks are doing in the area of the data to read part of water production. There has been a number of arrests, and we have done a lot of translations of staff, and we are now in the process of analyzing the study here for my semester. But the police are proceeding with the cases, and we have received some of the doctors who have come forward to us, that we want to confirm, and we send them to the police when they put statements. And I think we are also reporting them to the South African Mental Association, so the South African Health Professional Center, where they are registered for them to go through the historic processing of the area. And where possible, we have requested them all that we need to cover all the money that we have It's an ongoing area, and also what I believe is that if we begin to introduce new systems, it will give us space that most people will not be able to understand the new system, that have to start learning them. And that gap will allow also us to strengthen our control and this management in that area. I must indicate that I'm comfortable that we've made sufficient progress in the area of the with regards to the internal police council, I have indicated that we have appointed the new chief executive of the internal audit. However, the audit work is being done. We have met for the first time our audit plan, and what is planned and we implemented. I think it's working well, and the audit committee in the annual report is also alluded to that today. We are doing well there. I must also indicate that we recall that June 4th, I was asked if our audit committee is effective, and I did indicate that it is effective. And I think the AG there indicated that in their report they found it not effective. However, there's a dispute, I must report that now, to the AG, to the audit committee. Requested the AG come back to Parliament and make a correction of that particular issue. Because in the report that they've given for Mr. Sukar, they indicated that the audit committee was functioning effectively. But in the annual report, the report is functioning effectively. So there's that issue between us and the AG. We're trying to manage the defense sensitive to ensure that. There is no fighting. Just as that they might find it the chief of Africa era, I think it's what the representative of the AG was saying, that indeed they recognize the contradiction in the report that they gave to the department and the one that is in the report. So this particular issue, I must indicate that is well managed. And we just need to capacitate with our own staff as soon as possible. Next slide. We also have to do data cleansing on the dead book. You recall that we have a massive amount of data. The employers who are still owing us. Some of it, we do not believe that all of it payable to us. However, we need to think that data to ensure that we determine the correct amount of money that the employers are owing us, and we need to update the account of the HR administration. So that work is being done. A data centralization started in February for the employers concerned in the issue that you write to the employer and say, according to our record, this is the amount of money that you are owing us. Can you please process? So that process has started. The collection of the HR analysis, the project is in progress to interrogate the data transactions in the HR analysis to ensure that all valid data transactions are afraid to record anything, they said that they're done. The fund is engaging with GPRO to verify the employer's application. There is also a dedicated team to deal with the case of any. This is the submission the brand makes every year to say, I've seen anywhere that this is the amount of the payment, we need to get that information. And the management the process of replacing the current contract in that financial system that will streamline the assessment process. And then the debt management policy is in place and it's being implemented. On the collection side, the special achievement here also I must indicate that we have not done as much as we thought. We said we wanted to collect about 0.5% of what I must indicate that here we have suggested the process during this current financial year due to the problem process that we had. So we believe that in the new year we will move the speed to try to collect as much as we can from those who are owing the fund. With regard to the filling of vacancies, what are basically saying that from the top side of the minister for 2008, this is the position that we speak now. At the level of SRCD, we have 11 approved, we still 10, we have one outstanding, which we are going to fill. With regard to middle management, we have 29 approved, 24 have been filled, 5 outstanding there. At the top management structure, basically, as we're saying, we remain in 6 vacancies, which is represented about 14.2%. With regards to SF 10, which is the lower management level, we are saying here that we have SF 10, we have 22 approved, 18 and 69 taken, which is reflecting well there. Most of this area is has to do with those conditions of internal audit management. SR 8, we have 78 approved, 76 filled. SR 7, we have 25, 24, 21. I think also there we do one thing. With regard to the clerical posts, 151 approved, 414 we filled, 21 outstanding. With regard to SR 4 and 3, that is the lowest level, entry level, we have 31, 24, 34 outstanding. The position is about 8.5% vacancy rate. With regard to the total establishment, we're sitting now at 709 approved, 45 still, 54 vacant, and 9% vacant rate. Total establishment is 9%. And the normality is around 10%. So we're not comfortable with this. We are moving bigger and starting to post given the level of unemployment in the country, those groups. And the next slide basically will show you the status of those unemployed groups as to where we are in 2064. And 9, we have approved the meter group and we are going to appoint. And 24 interviews have been done and now we're still waiting for a new result. 28 posts have been advertised and interviews are scheduled for this coming month, for this present month. 3 vacancies to be advertised. So, 164 vacancies to also show you what we are doing. On the new organizational redesign, as I indicated later in one of the slides, that we wanted to restructure or reposition the organization. And the benchmark properly other organizations to that fleet. We have a recorded team there that is reviewing the lockdown of the setup in November 2009. A lot of work has already been done in this area. The following achievement has been done. The service delivery model has been developed and finalized. The draft macro structure, that is the top structure of the organization based on the service delivery model, has been finalized, and this is being done in consultation with the organization. But in this project team that we set up, we make sure that labor is involved, all the time. The core business processes that we get, but also what we need to do is to define the new business process of the future based on job profiles for positions on the macro structure as developed, so for the top level structure, competency framework as developed, the change management strategy as developed, and talent is implemented. However, what is still outstanding is the macro structure, that is the structure from SR 10 to SR 4. Where it's moving with the size of that, and it indicates that the final structure will be submitted to the minister by the 30th of June 2010, which is next month, hopefully, and that it will be implemented immediately after approval. So we are giving ourselves time to allow those needs to start off with the minimum, that before we can even take off the minister. And there might also be a need for consultation with the DPSA in terms of the protocol. Once the structure is internalized, it must be bound to the middle of the area for consent. On the financial side, I need to indicate that on the same side, we see that from 2007-8, these are the number of things that were separately approved, and those were the number of payments that we made. 2008 and 9, we made 96,000, and 9 and 10, we made 87,800 out of 200,000 payments. You see that there's a decline in the number of things coming through in the year. Number of compensation benefits processed to date, we've seen a rise there. We've seen that in 2007 it was 862, 2008 it was 6.8 million, and as of now, the first March we paid up 7.5 million on compensation. I think the graphs there are reflective of the statistics that have been presented. Medical payments to date, we've paid about 1.5 billion compared to 1.8, almost similar to last year. But the number of medical accounts that have come through has also come down. Those are the figures that we have seen in the same place. And then on the financial performance side, what we're indicating here that today, before the books are closed, we are reporting that we won't get almost the amount of cash that we got last year. It's been at 4.3 billion compared to 4.5 figures. Investment income before the audit and everything will be done, we still get 1.6 billion. That's income from investment. Benefits paid, we have paid up to 1.9 billion. I think this figure will change as the financial year comes to an end. And been expenses, we still have been an increase of about 300 million. And on the provision, this will also come while the financial statement is done, because then we need the extra expenses that we make in provision. It's something that is determined by the election. So normally they finish that way around the time. So in terms of the requirement, we need to finalize the financial statement and close the books by the 31st of May. So those numbers will be definitely changed. So these are the final effects and the next slide. Next slide. basically one by it is showing them that the status for now, our investment has shown an increase. Property investment has shown a decline in the depreciation. Receivables, that is the money that you get from investments and other topics, just come down also there. The other area of cash and cash equivalent, I think it's going to be explained there what we need there. With this, that those who get that, we have 758, there is a routine there. Accumulated fund, basically, we have moved from 6.5 billion to 9.4 billion. Credit cards have increased also from 290 to 35.5 million. Provision, as I said, this number also reflects what was there last year. So this number could also change once we go to the next time that we have the right number. Yes, sir. On the unchanged money, I think I did indicate to you that there was a particular amount of money that was not claimed, and I think you indicated to us that we must move to try to get those people who deserve this money to come and take. So what we've done, we've issued was an amount of 38.4 million that was sitting, which is located. The current unchanged money is currently sitting at 34.8 million compared to the previously. And this was as a result of the number of activities that we've done. One of the activities was publishing the government and then requesting all the people who might have money that they believe is due to them from the commissioner. And most of them have responded. And we also did a month-long advert on radio and newspaper requesting those people to come forward. And we also tightened our campaign on these people to bring in bank details for us to be able to pay them, because we don't want to pay by check. And that has helped us a lot. So what we are saying is, since the advert went out, about 1,500 vendors came forward and provided the funds to pay these people and all the things we take. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. When you look at the documents in front of us, if you look at page 30, the Compensation Commissioner made the comment that the claims that are being received have dropped. Well, they've dropped by a small amount, from 209,000 to 200,000. So all right, there's a 9,000 drop. But when you look at the payments made, they've dropped from 162,000 to 87,000. So the number of payments made has dropped quite a lot more than the number of claims you received. So payments are dropping fast. If you turn over the page, a couple of pages, and you carry on looking at these results, the same pattern comes to elsewhere. The medical payments made have dropped on page 34. If you look at the financial information, the benefits paid, year to date we've got 1.9 billion, and the last financial year 2.9 billion. That's a billion rand difference, and we're not going to make up that billion rand between February and the end of the financial year, which I think is the end of March. So the pattern here, Chairperson, is that the fund is not paying money. I mean, page after page tells us that the fund is not paying our money. The claims are dropping and dropping. Now, I have a service delivery problem with this compensation fund, and Mr. Mkhonto, I really like you as a person. I'm told by a colleague that in your previous position in the previous organization, you did a really fantastic job. And I just want to say that, because it's not personal. This is about service delivery. That's my complaint. My complaint is that the monies are not being paid out. And then I've got examples, and I'm quite cross, but I will remain calm. I'm going to say my voice. But I'm quite cross, because my inbox keeps filling up with these complaints. And the financial information you're giving this committee is borne out by my inbox that keeps getting full with these complaints that are unresolved. I've got one here, Chairperson, and I'd like to table this so that it gets minuted. Mr. Karat Guetta. This one has been dancing around in my inbox for I don't know how long, and I'll give a copy. The Commissioner can have a copy of the email I got this morning, and I'll give one to the Secretary who's doing the minutes as well. It's got all the details of the claim and so on. This man has been waiting for an answer from the fund for a very long time. It's months that I've been forwarding it. Today, he writes me this, I got this morning. He says, Rasha, I need answers. Please, he writes down the whole tape because he's been waiting for a long time. You know, I've got another one here that I got this morning. I was involved in a workplace incident in October 2007. This is Amin van der Walt. I don't know whether that's a man or a woman. I don't recognize the name Amin, but anyway. My claim with the compensation fund number 87/163588. The case was closed, but the doctor reapplied for the case to be reopened despite various calls to the call center or emails. I have heard no word from the fund. You know, it might be that these claims are going to be rejected, but the communication is not going back to the complainant to say, sorry sir, sorry ma'am, you can't get the money because your claim is not valid. So I'm getting still far too many complaints. Secondly, we set up a system that has said, we spoke with the Compensation Commissioner. He appointed two staff members to come and see us last year. They came to our offices. We had a nice meeting with them. They started a procedure where we could send the complaints directly to them. We asked our Secretary, Joan, to facilitate that for us in our office here in Parliament. She keeps a record of every single complaint. And every Monday, she used to call or email the staff of the Compensation Fund. Now they won't talk to her. They won't return her email. They won't talk to you on the telephone, and I want to know why. Mr. Mkhonto used to himself return my emails and say, well, what he used to do is forward it to the relevant staff member and just copy me, CC me, so I could see, okay, gone to somebody. Now I don't get that anymore. I haven't this year got one single reply from Mr. Mkhonto to an email that I've sent him. Not one. And sometimes the staff will reply to me. Sometimes not. This year I've got one complaint from Mossel Bay from a Axeling is the surname of the person. That one, there's somebody now dealing with it. She emailed me last week to ask for additional documents. We sent them. We had to send them three times because she couldn't find it on the fax machine. But anyway, she's dealing with it. Nobody's coming back to us. And really, Chairperson, it's not okay. I would like to in future table the names, the list of the names here in this committee to make it public, because I'm not getting the replies, and really we are the committee that's supposed to do oversight. When people in our constituencies come to us with complaints, we must table them. And I'm going to table them here publicly, because I'm not getting the replies on the emails. And I want to know why the staff of the compensation fund won't talk to Joan Risso, our secretary. I mean, she's a very nice, sweet lady. She's not nasty or whatever else. She just emails and phones and says, yeah, on my list this week, what can I do about it? Have we get no reply? And if you look at the financial, it's showing that money's not getting paid out. So I see two problems. One is the money's not going out on the one hand. And number two, when we raise these issues, we're now not getting the response. Last year, we still got a response. We did last year get a response. Now, suddenly this year, we just get no response from the fund anymore as members of Parliament. And that's not acceptable. Those are my two biggest concerns. There are some minor questions I have, but if you allow a second round, then I'll tell them. I'll keep the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. sometimes get very confused. Maybe I'm a precise negotiator. Yes, and why, and where I'm going to go. I should think this meeting was wrong. Maybe to put through the proposal to my colleagues. I'm not sure whether we are going to become a call center where we're going to sit a committee on the legislative gap and ensure that that we have to be identified as a committee or something. Because I'm just thinking of if we really had to take all those complaints as a portfolio committee, we're going to have. I'm not trying to protect it there. As a portfolio committee at some stage, we need to clarify our roles so that when we do oversight all of us, when we give you all the lists and we, so that we can check the responses. But I'm getting completely confused. Gentlemen, I'm not sure whether you're aware that at Parliament today, you have to think of people from my outside who are interested in something. Maybe you must defeat them. Later, because this is to the parliament that's been running and what you make and what you know, so that it is in the committee be aware of what they can say. Maybe that's not your case, sure to but honestly speaking, I've got very, very serious concerns from the turnaround strategy. I don't know whether it's a turnaround strategy or it's still the strategy. I've seen you employed so many managers. Since as one but one line, I understand the job load, but I think the job load is not going to be consistent forever. You cannot want a budget manager forever. What is your CFO doing? Why can't he be there so that he can utilize money for other things? But maybe when I understand what your people are doing, you'll understand it. But I'm worried about the number of managers we have. You end up having somebody who manages the table and nothing else. After this backlog has been addressed. So maybe that is one thing you need to talk to it. What you're going to do later. With a lot of money that we have. On the same page, you're talking about how much was in the suspend account. We talked about the suspend account. It's kind of tricky to say there was money in the suspend account. Up to now, I can't say how much was there, how much is there now. So that we can say, this is the real turnaround service. We said, we want to monitor you, we want to tick, we want a scorecard to say you were here and you were there. I didn't see it here, what we are talking about, that movement. What was the closing balance? Is there an improved? What is this that we have improved? What was the figure? Where are you now? What is the closing balance now? Which one to convene us that we have made? That to me is very important. You talk about your financial assessment, clearly was 30 million, I'm worried about. Because I think last time we said, if you make so much money and you declare something like 30 million, it's a big amount, we would like to see where the 30 million has gone. That's what we said. Here we don't see that breakdown. That's one of the breakdowns we said we wanted to see. How much we have 50 million in that short space of time, which couldn't be played for such a long time. What we are not saying we have put it in your pocket, but it can happen. It can happen. We just want to see that means where money has gone to, which companies were there. Like what Honorable Ollie was saying, you know, the problem of the compensation fund, who you talk to. I make an example about me last time. You can see I don't have a hand, the other hand. But the compensation fund, the claim is done through the employer. I'm not sure how it's done directly by individuals. I would need to be clarified. Because that's another danger. That you can say you have paid to that employer, who did you pay to? So that employer also rules. Because I will tell you the outcry out there that money is not paid direct to the worker, it's paid to the company. Because the company alleged that they have paid those workers, they have done this, I don't know whether you can prove for that. So that is another dimension you need to look at. But I really want to see how you clear that 40 million. So that when we talk to you here, we we would compare with what we are saying sin, because we are worried about the figure. If that figure was sitting in your friend's account, you need to sign it to so and so and so, so that we are all witness of what has happened. We can't just come here and the portfolio committee agree that things have happened which has not happened. On your performance of weekly bank reconciliation, I was confused. Because you said there's no interface yet. You talk about the life system, I don't know what's the life system. But the interface is something you can put it in one day. The bank can come, implement interface. So I'm not sure what you're talking about. Because you told us that it's from July the interface. I don't know which interface you don't have. Whether you do have interface between you and the bank, which can help you to reconcile within a week, because that will be possible. But if you don't have that interface, it will be very difficult for you. I'm sure your CFO can testify to that. You cannot reconcile on a weekly basis. But if you've got a bank interface, which will give you a bank statement on a monthly basis, then it's fine, unless you don't mind to go to the bank and pay for bank statement every time, copy of the bank statement every week. I don't know how you do it. But I'm concerned because you raised that you don't have interface till the 1st of July. So how you see yourself now doing the reconciliation on a weekly basis? All you are doing is manually, then will you be interested to know that? And how possible? I know it's a legislation, but how possible that if you don't have interface? I think that's my concern, because that will be a moment. But then you must employ 20 accountants and 15 cheaper than you want to cope with that. But if that is the... I don't know what I'm saying. I ask all my personal quite a lot. In Jason, who should pay the difference? Where you say, I think we mustn't make laws which make the life of the poorest of the poor difficult. We as the ANC government, we want, I don't think, except that. That now you want to determine. I don't have a problem with the limits of how much the injection should be, but who is liable thereafter? We've all been backlogged. We went to the doctor, and usually they don't take themselves to the doctor, you know. The employer takes them to the doctor. And they are taking there, some of them are laying on the stretcher, some of them are already unconscious. They find themselves at that doctor. And then if the department is going to decide not to what it has been paid, who is expected to do that? Is that the way? Who should get that money left from his salary if the company didn't pay his salary? Because then you'll be liable to reinvest the salary. I'm quite honest about that, unless you clarify mostly who is going to be liable of this show. And if my shoulder is completely off, it might show that I want a professional. My hand was completely off. Can go to my family to see that day my right hand is not ready. I had to pay for myself. Absolutely, I don't know even whether the company was paying or not paying. But by the management compensation. So what I'm saying is that as long as whatever you do is not going to disadvantage the poorest of the poor, who cannot even buy a home? But because they must get a professional assistance because they were injured at work, I think we need to revisit our health and safety and look at our policy on health and safety, what it says. It even says when the camp policy, the South African policy, it says if the area where I'm working is harmful, I mustn't go and perform that duty. And the convention is clear. And South Africa is ready. And the South Africa, based on that convention, has come with a policy. But if you come with those, we need to say where you're located, the poorest of the poor, who are vulnerable to this situation? The contractors who are not even registered. If I must pay 21,000, whatever it is, what was that 1,000? Whether I'm a casual for lifetime, 6 years, and there's no law compliance, there's no enforcement, there's nothing. I'm left there, I must pay next. And those things are not being followed. So I think that one I'm very worried about. I just need to see that policy and how you see yourself as a single student. I don't know what is your interface like or this, but that's why I'm saying there's a contradiction. Whether you talk about SAP, here interface which must be live first, we are not there. We don't know what should be live, but it will be important for us to understand what you're talking about. That the interface will only be live in, and you said the internal auditors have sometimes that you don't for the live issue. I don't know how it comes, let them clarify. Because I'm not quite sure what we are talking about when the interface live, or the, if the interface is not live, you don't want to encounter problems of the internal auditors. I'm not sure what that. Because I understand the job of the internal auditor different. That their job is to follow the policy, check your control, adherence to what the internal audit is all about. Adherence of the policy and the law. So if you can clarify me that. But I should think that if you can interface for your staff, it will be the quicker, the sooner, the better, so that you can have a proper understanding. I'm finishing here. Another thing, we talk about the rate of assessment. I don't know what we talk about something in the middle of the My other thing is that assessment is done on your salary bill. I used to be employed in a very conservative world. And the assessment, I was doing it in March to check my total salary bill. What you put with me was that my salary closed at the end of December. So when I assessed in March, I was assessing based on the actual. Whether it will be different from the companies who their financial year will come during the middle of the year. Because they won't know what will be their total salary and how many people they have during the course of the year. But I didn't understand those surveys you are saying in the middle of the, who works in the middle of the race. To me, it isn't material. What is the formula, what we want to know. And I don't know how you revise the race because of the test. Because even if I walk outside, if I fell, the race should be the same. Because my leg will be cut. So I don't understand this. Because assessment is based on your total salary bill in March. That was previous year. And in October, then you are billed to pay. And if there are differences, you will get it in the next financial year. I used to receive a lot of money from assessment of the compensation fund because they were not assessed. You see that all several, nothing has been assessed. They will just come to you after 10 years and people claim a lot of money. So I'm not just sure about the rate you're talking about. Because the rate of the injury cannot be determined by where I work. I think I can fall here now and broke my, I don't understand that, but if that's going to be a policy like that, I don't know which labor is really contributing to that. And then on your vacancy, filling in of your vacancy, I don't know if you finish other people's questions. Filling on your vacancy is the labor brokering. Last time you told us that it was so many people who were employed by labor brokers. And when you absorb in this employment, what happens to those labor brokers? We cannot speak here. You know, like people in the test don't say, hey, but nothing I'm told again, but do the same thing. So if you can just help us there, what has happened. And I have to think, I'll come later again for the other.
Any more
questions?
No,
thanks. Oh. I'm from the first one, because I'm going to test out. On governance, there was one time where you mentioned that you are also in the commission, in the compensation fund, you are also the chairman of the board. It doesn't sit comfortably with us because it means that you are a player in the referee at the same time. Whilst we understand that that has been done through the appointment by the minister. But with that said, what you need to do, you need to go back and look at the act. If then there are areas of amendment that are supposed to be done, then you identify that and try to deal with that. I think you say something on that. The second point, Madam Chair, is around the point that has been raised by Honorable Dantumazo in relation to the feeling of vacancy. I think this, we raised this because, one, when you were brought in, I think there were a number of problems in the past. And then you have to make sure that you deal with those problems with speed. As a result, there were employees who were suspended because of what they did in the part of other things. Then you have to employ people. I think you mentioned three categories. One was the labor program she spoke about. and then the other one were temporary employees now employed by the fund. And a second group that has to deal with the backlog. So you mentioned those three. I think it's important for you, Commissioner, to state exactly. Because I think when you appear to the COPPA, you make mention that there are certain employees who are on temp, either on temp or through labor broking. As you are employing them, you are taking from them, you are sourcing from that group. I think it's important that you brief us exactly on these three categories, how far. But I'm not taking away the point that has been raised by Honorable Lantulaka on the issue of labor problems. I mean, we can't be champions of dealing with labor broking and then within the same department, that is something that is practical. I think that's not correct. The third point, Madam Chair, is around the decentralization. I think we have appreciated the fact that you are operating in four provinces currently. And I think also in your report you have indicated that you can see it as a tripartite. I think we need to appreciate that. You are also, I just want to be clear to you, Madam Chair, in the five remaining provinces, are you then saying that you're intending to establish service delivery offices in these provinces within this financial year? I think half of you correct as well. I think it's important that good work that you have done by decentralizing, having services delivery points in the four provinces, that has to be done in others. So I think you need to speak to that. Merit is a payment. Honestly, there was a lot of questions in my mind, and we covered you already. Are you saying because there were no indirect in company A, which is their responsibility anyway, to make sure that there are no injuries? Because when people look for employment, they are not looking for injuries. They are looking for employment. Then because company A is following the Tibetan Health and Safety Act correctly, then you have to retake them because they have done that. That's why I'm saying I didn't capture you correctly, but depending on how are you going to respond to this, I think I'll come back to this point. because I don't like to preempt what will be his response. The last point where it says, that's to re-emphasize the point raised by Honorable Manipul. You see, the authority that are put in there, the code of each and every medicine that has to be given to me, that the medical aid, they pay to a particular point, and then something about that I have to pay. Now, I think you need to say if then it becomes the responsibility of the worker who has been injured, then now the worker has to pay the difference. What is it that you think has to be done in order it does not become the balance of that particular condition?
Because the stickers are not stickers and they are not broken down. And we don't know the ones that have been rejected on what basis. For me, it's difficult to stand up and in public or anyone to ask me to say, what is the conservation of funds doing? Because number of people, whenever you go in all these constituencies here, you will have a long queue that has problems with compensation funds. But when you come here, you get a huge number of money that has been paid. Now, I don't know will I convince people? There's something that needs to happen. So this 709 total number of there are two numbers there. You have the total number of 4707, total is 585. Total number they can see, one is the same. And then there's another a table down there, also total number of 4709, total is 585. I'm trying something that can say. The new organization concept is dying. I assume that you will not reveal this until after you function with the minister. But what is the reporting? What are the reporting channels? Do you report directly to the minister, or do you report to the DG, to the minister via the DG? What is the mode of control that you think? Yes. I'm really not happy. I'm not happy about the vacant system. I don't know the reason why these vacancies have not been filled, because we have high rates of unemployment out there. And since now, I don't understand the delay. Maybe you explain what is the delay. There's a number of people who are complaining. Maybe the problem is that you don't know who is doing things. I don't know what the problem is, but I don't understand. You know there were promises that you have made. One person who shocked all of us when we came for presentation up, down, over the door, and we have all the rooms that line. But the problem we are having, we are still facing a major challenge when it comes to paying. And as this nearby says, the people that need this money mostly are the ones who are not getting it. Yet, it's a huge amount that they can do. So,
Aiko. It's working, but it's very soft. But it is working. It's on. It is working.
I just thought that before the team, this one being greater than the team, we just allowed us for 20 seconds to say all the two things. Firstly, I think indeed we are working with this a fortified organization, and it's not a broken organization that is under construction. The management team that the commissioner here is talking about, that has a lot of things. It's quite a complex organization. So this equals then the rest of the organization. So for a complex problem, it was an issue of that people that are managers that are supposed to drive the business are themselves the list of the appointments that we're talking about here. Now, this really good. Are the same people that need to do and fine-tune the business requirements. And now, if you think you work within the IT, very first thing that needs to be clarified are the business requirements. Now, if the people that are supposed to clarify the business requirements are themselves new, that compounds the problem. So if you look at the some of the body findings of the oil, that's one of the issues that they are saying. In terms of management itself, clarifying the business requirements in the area of the improvement right there. Now, so then, and then of course, other issues that are pointed out by this point, will be explained by the team here better, the issue of interface and so on. And the interface here largely talks to the interoperability of the system. We have the legacy. That is there. You have the system that you want to bring in. But for this system to talk to each other, you need something in between. To develop that is a bit more than just one day. Because it talks to a whole range of complex IT issues. Do the coupling, if you like. Now, as the commissioner has been explaining here, that we really have an ambitious goal of ensuring that by data things run out. The challenge is a huge in this organization. That Chair, I think I really would want to leave here with having sort of managed the expectations of the honorable members here, that even the 1st of July is very, is a high level indicative go live think what the commissioner is trying to do here is also trying to respond to the pressure that is being put upon you. But the reality of the situation is that what has to happen in agreeing a whole life with a proper project plan that's going to talk to the whole range of issues. One of the big issues that needs to happen as you migrate is the data migration alone is the mission on the government. That's something that we do overnight. And before you migrate the data, you also have a lot of work to do in terms of data training. So that data is corrupt, certification, all kinds of things that you do. So all that work that you have, say, first of July, very ambitious, but it's just a high level indication that we try to work for, but I just want to manage the expectation so that we understand that the amount of work ahead. But I'll let the members respond directly to the question, but I really just want to appeal to members that just understand that the challenge, we are quite aware of the challenges, but it was the great issue, the supervisor issue.
Thank you. Honourable members, I'll respond to the question very fast, but maybe I'm interested that we can. They will ask unable to address the issue before we have used in the process that for how to be by the process that after all.
That's really the process that we follow in government. Every moment we have statements we address. And then for low level entries, we advertise the code for 2 weeks. And immediately thereafter, we do our shortlist. After shortlisting, out of the 500 or 1,000 applications, only the shortlisted candidates are then sent to NIA for pre-employment training. And then we hold interviews, and after the interview, the recommended candidate, we then do a qualification verification process. And that is the way our program lies. The turnaround time of NIA is said to be 6 weeks, but we have experienced that it can take 3 months before we get those results. And we cannot make appointments because this was a directive from DPSA that since from 2008, qualification, verification, and pre-employment training must be done before appointments can be made. So, here, this slide was trying to say, out of the 64 vacancies that we currently have, this is the progress that we already made. If we had those results, immediately we'd be saying that we take 33 out of the 64, and we'd be remaining with 28. These 28, we are in the process of, actually, some of the interviews have already been had. But then we'll be delayed because again we have to do qualification verification for all the recommended candidates. With SAPA also they had a turnaround time of 48 hours. But now I think because all the departments, the DPSA again issued an instruction that we must use SAPA, previously we were using CROSS for qualification verification. So now all government departments have to use that. So the turnaround time has now become a problem. We're waiting for a month to 2 months before we get into it. And that delays the appointment of the contract. That makes our waiting period for the turnaround time to deal with it to be a problem.
Yes,
sir.
I don't think I understand what the process
or you continue, you wait for the system to make sure. We both did have the limited assembly of the system.
Okay.
We send the name to Mia and at the same time we go to the system.
Okay.
Then we wait for Mia's back for us to issue our permission.
Okay, so this, but this staff house, but what that we are saying is staff house is doing qualification of the system. So we are only doing the security and they have the training. Slide 26, we're trying to do a comparison. But as of March 2009, we had a vacancy of Council 23, which was 17.3. And we had a total number of posts approved at 709. From April, we have 709 posts, and currently the vacancy rate is staying at 9%. That was the previous data in the current. March 2009, we are at 17.3% vacancy rate. And currently, as of March 2010, we are at 9%. We have almost half the number of vacancies.
At the beginning of what, for 2009, or at 31st March, you had 707 approved posts, which were vacant.
No, approved posts. Out of the 707 posts, 584 we think. And we're left with 123 vacancies as of March 2009.
So as at March 31st 2010, where are you?
We have
you have 9%.
Yes. We have 709 posts. That 707 increased by 2 posts. And then the field currently is 645 and 64 vacancies.
This is where it's confusing. Is that for 12 months, you can only interview 50% of what you require? Is that what you do? Because then it was 123, which was there on the 31st of the 3rd, 2009, and on the 31st of the 3rd, 2010, it's still covered by 64%. That is almost 50% of the people we were supposed to interview. I think what we want to know, why we take 12 months? Is it because of SAQA delaying to verify? And currently we have to prove to us that this is because SAQA has failed to approve. That we like 32, we are still waiting. But 50%. 50% of 123 in 12 months, then something will be studied to attend to, if that is the case.
Maybe can I just want to explain what's the name? It doesn't mean that we have moved from 123 to 64, and that number is taking
same vacancies that were open, and out of the 233, excuse the difference. In between the
resignation.
What I'm saying is that 123, that was the vacant at the 31st March 2009. Now, out of that, the number could have increased to 150, 160, but during the course of the year, they filled. And as of now, we're now remaining with 64. That takes into account people who resign, we advertise, and we fill. So we might have filled more than the 50% that she's referring to. It does that as at the 31st of March, we had 64 vacancies outstanding. I think what we may need to do is to give you a proper reporting to say, out of the 123, how many of the 123 were filled? And where is the 64 coming from? Whether it includes new resignations and all that. So maybe it's the reconciliation that we need to do.
Reconciliation of 705 minus 584, then when it was 123, how many of the 584 have resigned? So that it increased to 123. You know, it and to 2030, the 31st of March 2010, you'll have to give us, in that period, this is the resignation we had. So that at least we can understand this was refilled and again. But when you put it like this, we move from that assumption that you cannot take 12 months employed, 60 something people, it's impossible. Unless we want to say SACPA is wrong and SACPA will say, no, this is what I want, this is what I. So that at least we have a clear, we move with you. Okay.
Yes, but Chair, just a quick one. I think also in the how government officers come and speak, in that the 64 vacancies, for instance, that are is a balance. I really checked that here on the left side, it explains that with the balance that we consider as still vacancies. But if you look at the kind of work that is happening on the outstanding, that's what's happening with us in 64. But we can't reflect, although some of that process is out of our hands, we can't reflect it as if it's in the bag, because it's not in the personal system yet. So if you actually look at the real vacancy there, what those three at the bottom that are still to be advertised, that's where you can clap up. 28 crores are already advertised, which have been scheduled for me. Perhaps it's that 28 that's it. Been out there. But if you look at the 24 and the 9, the 24 interviews are waiting in it, we are about, and the 9 are approved and, from that diploma. But because that 9 and the 24 is not in the personal system yet, we're reflecting the student's position so that we are alive.
The next slide on the compensation benefit. Three slide stages.
Thank you.
Those are those that we have made a decision. contract took that and the process that a decision was made. And then, if you look at 127 and 87, 800, those two mix between 87 minus 27. These are those that, out of those that we have adjudicated, and 87 minus 27, the matter has been finalized. We've either paid or we've told you that we can't pay. The difference is that where we might still be waiting for certain information or accounts that might not have arrived. However, if you look at the next slide, it says in 2009 and 2010 it was 600,000, but if you look at the next slide, it says we processed 336,890. There's a difference there of about 136,000. That is the cumulative number of the previous years that we did not resolve, that we resolved in the current financial year. That's why that number of that includes those that were not resolved in the previous year, which were resolved in the current year. So that is why we do not reflect that here in the 2010 claim receipts. They were received previously, but they were processed in the current year.
But
that's really different.
Because the title is still going down on slide 30. Every year gets less.
Is this the income, or this is the compensation which are processed? So your number will go down because the processing is reducing the number. I want you to clarify. The 335,633 from 2007. You then say in 2008 it was 327,647. And then in 2009 it shoots to the roof, 336,819. That's your graph number. And then what is this? Is this the money to be paid or money you receive? It's not here. It's total number of compensation benefit process. It's what has been paid out. So it means that's why we want there the breakdown of that 30 million. I think here we are not asking you questions about this event. We are saying we are concerned about you clearing 30 million in that short space of time. What we want to see is the list of who did you pay. Because our problem is, who are you paying? Are you paying the individual worker or are you paying the company? So that we understand. So, Comedian, we don't want to go through a lot of things which happen now in the country. Our worry is that those workers are still complaining that they never receive anything. We just want to have the proof whether it's paid to the company, and if it's paid to the company, what proof do we have that those individuals receive the money? After that, do they give you a receipt of acknowledgement that Alina had acknowledged it, and this is Alina's cell phone number, and we can contact Alina if you want to check? I think that's our major contentious issue. What you explain is not what we are asking. What we are asking is, you can see, you are reducing. But the number of people who are not paid to us is still the same, unless you give us. But I say this. And if you are paying to OK, let's say, if you pay the tax to OK, which is what is happening in your department, this OK allows that particular Alina Randola to sign acknowledgement of receipt of that money. Because that is what we are worried about. That people you are paying, but people are not getting the money. Where problem lies in between? So the seller saying, if you can give us a breakdown of who did you pay on this 30 million, it will help us a lot. You do have that in your cash book, because your cash book statement, CFO can just print it and show us when payments were done. It's the easiest way. And on your account, on your ledger account, you can also print it up. Your ledger account will say who was paid, when, on that first day. So at least that's what we are worried about. We are not worried about this
We are worried about who is paid. Because many times you pay companies. You pay construction companies, they go and buy these two segments, that's where we can see minting on the street. And let you see their salary. And also liable for that debt you are paying. And with your tax, how do you expect me, being a candidate for 30 years, not within the threshold of the bank, get a tax? So we want you to say to us, these are the people we cannot get the account number for. As a result, we can't deposit the money. For you to go to the newspaper, for someone who has been missing for 2 years, government cabinet, who's going to be the government cabinet in the moon? Who's going to be the newspaper? I think that's what we want. What we want is the actual fact. How many people you still cannot pay because you can't access them on the bank account? How many people you have paid through the company? How many people you have paid through the individual? And we want to surrender that because we want to have oversight also from our side so that we justify ourselves that people have the system. And this is a serious issue on the ground. So I think that's what we want to say.
Yes, Mr. Conte, I don't want to leave this page because there's a problem here and we need to be very clear. You need to tell me I'm right or you need to explain that I've missed something. Because this page, 30, your payment out in 708 is 162,411. In 809, 150,090. In 0910, 87,800. The number is going down every year by much faster than the claims are going down. And it's tied to that chart that you have on slide 35, where it shows benefits paid. In 0809 was 2.9 billion, and now in by February 2010, it's 1.9 billion. That's a billion rand difference, and you can't make up a billion rand between February and the end of the financial year, which is March. You can't in 1 month pay out a billion rand. So clearly, lots less money is going out of the fund to claimants, and I don't understand why.
I want to...
So that's where we are safe. And then the period, also they go down, all of them.
All of figures go down.
And we don't understand what informs this coming down. I think that's what the Honorable Holy is saying.
Can I say something? I think the part of the point that was made by Honorable earlier, because I assume that once you talk about claims, it's not only the worker where the teacher will claim it. Also, there's a lot of other people who are claiming to the fight. I think you once spoke of service providers, doctors, all those things. So, maybe when you were preparing this, I'm not trying to respond on your behalf, but I want you to clear my mind. Maybe when you were preparing this, you might have either looked at the individuals who got injured who claimed, with the exception of the service provider. I think that point, I'm not saying you don't have to respond now, you can respond on the issue. But I think I'm trying, Madam Chair, to emphasize the fact that what will make us to be clear and make sure that these monies that are paid, are we paying the people who work in that or the service provider? In order, when I'm sitting in the constituency office, then there are people who are coming and saying that I've been claiming from the compensation fund for the long years, then I haven't received anything. I will be able now using that information and also try to make a follow-up if then there's any of the problem. So, I think even the DG is here. So these presentations, I think they need to be made simple for us to understand. For us to understand and for us to do constituent work very, very, very easily. I just wanted to raise that point.
So the claim for
saying then, what is the 162?
This is just saying, and we have been okay, because I kind of have this interpretation from me, because they say to us, for the 2007-2008 year, of the 209,000 claims received, you pay 162,411. What we could do is break it down to say, of that, we paid so many in 2007-2008, and so many more in year 2008-2009, and then so many more in 2010. So if I can just go to the chair, if we look at this trend, if you go back 5 years, you will see an identical trend. In the most current year, you will say the least amount of claims, unless you begin to say you want this report produced by the year in this report. Then you will get the information.
That's not true.
Are you? Let them ask the question. We are confused because I think gave the period in question. Because you cannot say here. Because this has long been audited. So bring it closer. If you take 7 and 8, it will be March 2007 to March 2008. That will be 1 year. That's our understanding. And if it's not like that, for it, then honourable members, we cannot waste our time here. I'm sorry to say that. But if it's 2007 March to 2008 March, it's 12 months, is the period we are talking about. It's an instant. Then we are saying in that period is 162 for 11. Then if you are saying that is an assumption, then let's say we can't come in and give you some answers. It's the right of the people here. What I'm saying is that even the breakdown of the 30 million, I'm still saying, we don't want to give us 30 million breakdown holding you pay. Because till this is clean, we will want to know who's paying. Because we understand that Commissioner has signed the backlog, okay? For you to clear the backlog, this is what you found. I don't know, from this 87,800, I don't know why were we giving that long history, which you can't motivate. If you can't motivate here because you're not there, you take it from the financial spaces, obviously you want to have that. Or you can go to your record and say, but we want from the time when you come to say, this is what I found. This is the amount I found in the city, in the suspense account. The family are saying, we are worried about suspense account. Because you can give Lunga again 2 million out of that and say, okay, and Lunga again has not been even in there. That's why we want to know so that we are able to run that oversight. Here, the truth of the manager, here you're thinking about what was on your financial statement, your closing statement of those years. With 2010, you can't make your closing statement because your 3 years is not yet audited. I'll understand the 3 years, the 2 years, but you have not yet audited your 2010, your 2009 and 2010. So this is the preliminary figure, which you must say, preliminary figure, this is what we are doing, but we are still waiting on. But we are not saying that. We are saying, God, this is what we have done. And why did you do it if you don't have? That's why we are saying, just give us ahead. So many receipts, it's textbook, receipt and payment, where is the receipt book? Receipt and payment. This is what you receipted, this is what you pay. It's as simple as that. We just want your receipted. What you debited and what you've been credited. Finish. We don't want long stories for now, but show us who did you pay. That's all we want. But all this explanation, you are confusing us, right? Because the year runs in person. 7 to 8, 9 to 10, 8 to 9. So it can be different. It can be you are paying 2006 in 2007. You didn't tell us. So if you didn't tell us, you can't blame us. We are asking you based on what you received here. Unless you say, so many claims were from 2006, you give us that note. You say, yes, 2007, 2008, no, give us a note at the back. You say, as much as this 2009, this was the receipt from 2006, you didn't give us that. That's not an issue for us to work. We are waiting based on the information you provided. Thank you.
Well, I just want to respond to the. Sorry, I didn't get his name. Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh, you can't be correct because even if you are right in your assumption that the claims received are in the year and those on the right, the payments, are out of those claims for that year, it doesn't matter when they were paid. The fact is, only that many were paid. And the number paid is still going down. So it actually doesn't matter. Chairperson, they still are paying less claims.
No, I think the emphasis of my, obviously, you really don't want assumption. You're right. You want the right answer. I will give this person to attend to answer the question. And then after that, I think I'll come with something that's closer to what we want to do. Because you can't. Say longer on this question. It's clear that we don't understand the normativity and the answers are really not there to come from it.
Madam Secretary, can I make a suggestion here? I think what I'm able to say is that we go back, we will prepare a proper written explanation.
deciding to give it to the
member, can we just break for 2 minutes? Because I am just suggesting looking at the problem. That's the end. We cannot hold ourselves. One for all.
Thank you.
next neutral meeting beyond the Department of Commerce, to come back and I have this to remember the opportunity to tell you what is that we want from you as a country.
Okay, there are two things we want. I'm going to speak to the one, and then I think my colleague, Honorable Ardina, will speak to the other one. The first one we want is the claim that you've illustrated on page 30 or slide 30, and then the rand value illustrated on slide 35. We want an accurate breakdown of the claims paid, both the number of claims paid and the rand value of the claims paid for those years. 07, 08, 08, 09, 09, 10, and we want you to explain to us with your presentation why the amounts look like they're going down. It might be a perception of the figures, or it might be the way that you put the table together. Sometimes when you put the table together, you are putting it in one way when it should be put in another way. But we want the detail now. So we don't need all of the other pages. We need, on the claim, the exact number of claims received, paid, the number of claims paid, when they were paid, and the rand value of the payment, so that we can get, as a committee, a proper understanding of whether it is going down or not. And we can't do that with a summary. We need the detail, because we don't want to say things that are not true. We want to be able to say, this is the truth about the payments of the compensation fund. And with this presentation, it's difficult. So if we can, on Tuesday, get that detail, which will then clarify so that we don't argue with each other about these vague things. And then the other point, I think.
Yes, everything is wrong. What is it?
No, I think that's what we want. We want also who has claimed. And also this claim. If these people on the claims, you can't pay them because we don't have their bank details to give us those. You can't say, give us all those things, so that we actually have our own account. I think that's what you have said in the last time.
Yes, sir. I think the other area is on the vacancy.
Yes.
It's important. What I have to understand that there are certain processes that we have involved. Screening by NIA, the issue of qualifications, verification of qualifications by SACWA. But it's important to say those who are, in fact, are still waiting for a feedback from NIA, in which level? In which level? Even those on you are still waiting for a feedback from SACWA, in which level within the categories that you have? I think one, that one was mentioned. Because before we wanted that to be through you, there was a confession by the Commission. And the point I want to make here, Madam Chair, is that I can't stop as a politician because of people who have given responsibility to do a particular work, then I suffer as a result of that. For you to come here today with the staff that you have in your entity, then you cannot explain something that you've given to us, then it's a problem. Because what it means is, when I go back to the constituents, what I could answer to the people who are coming to my constituents' office, I will still say, I don't have an answer. Then I become stupid, simply because of the work that we're going to do. Please do your work, we will do our work.
Madam,
yes, we also need the organism as to how you start with it. We are worried that you, for the people who sit on the chair, or for the people who do two people doing one job in business. So if you can also give us your organization, because like we have raised your staff, give us your organization, let's see who accounts to who, how, and all that. Because it shows that here, we just take a certain
your CFO must take us serious. And I think the other thing is that 30 million, we still want to see how you disperse that 30 million to who. That was the claim. Now we want the disbursement of 30 million, which is already out. How did you do it to who and what is left? Like the expense account is a very dangerous account. Your CFO must tell you that. It's one of the most dangerous accounts in accounting process, which is not even supposed. I usually don't want to have the suspense account. I see a lot of companies going down the same because of the suspense account. We really want to see the clearance of that suspense account. Bring it out, show us how you have cleared that account out. When that money was paid, you only cleared, like you said, tell us what happened.
Okay, yeah,
but
the department, all the questions that have been asked in relation to for instance, the question of service provider, we want to know if we are being paid, then we need to pay the company, the money that was paid to that service provider, what is for whom, workers, so all those, we need all those to pay, because really, we can't sit here. I mean, this is our own thing. We have our own 5 years to be in this facility. Now, the thing is, can't continue to say that we tell all the new committee come in and they tell all the ex-certified I know that, you know, members are not known that people will tell the intelligence that figure. That's why some departments just keep there and concord with that because members really they are not. That's the thing. But it's a simple thing because it's numbers. Yeah. It's a simple thing. Okay, you look at this thing and you see that there's something wrong, even if you can't tell what it is. There is something wrong, something is not right. So we left that time and the organigram, this year we need the organigram. Who is where? Who is doing what?
Person, can I just add the name of the person?
Yes.
Because the query is one person doing two jobs? He's the CFO and he's also the something else. So we want to see that they're not one person doing two jobs, and we can only see that if we know the name. We don't know if it just says CEO. CEO might also be the CFO and the tea lady and the four other jobs. We want to see that name.
So yeah, it's going to some of the pictures that are going to come. Now there are other questions that have to be answered, except I'm sure you know this question because we also have to. I was also interested in the reporting structure. When you said you hear valuation, something valuation, you like a number of them, answer all the other questions that are
You asked that, I think some of the things that we should start here, I don't know if you had that. Next to the money was paid to, and also what is the basis of repudiation of this thing? In most instances, we repudiate this thing. For example, if we find that the report of an accident and the first report of the vehicle service provider do not talk to each other. Give an example. The employer will report an accident to say the encounter fell and body injury broke his neck or fell on his head. And then the doctor, first medical doctor, says, I've seen the encounter on a knee injury, which do not relate to the accident. In that instance, we should say the same on those grounds. what we are also clarifying in the reporting channel that we have is the following, is that the commissioner reports to the director general as the accounting officer of the fund. So the head of the fund is there, is the director general. The commissioner is appointed by the minister to perform those functions that the DG is not supposed to perform. So he's also the accounting officer of the department. So he can run UIF compensation and other things. So that's how we get appointed. So I report to the DG and the board advised the minister. He's appointed by the minister and advised the minister. And on the issue of the chairmanship of the commissioner, the act indicates that the minister can appoint the official determined by the legislative in terms of the legislation with the commissioner who can chair the board, or any other official to chair the board. That matter is currently receiving attention because in terms of King 3, it is a problem. So we are addressing that particular issue. We have sought legal advice and also we sought King 3 advice. Indeed, in terms of the current legislation, the situation is correct. However, if you look at government in general, it doesn't seem like it. But there are instances even in corporate where the CEO becomes the chairman of the board. As long as there can be a demonstration that the government arrangement is sound and the oversight bodies are effective, that means your internal audit, audit committee, and the board are independent. That, when the members of the board are independent, that was in terms of the King 3, deemed to be appropriate. And as a result, the advice we received was that currently there is nothing that is fundamentally wrong with the current arrangement. However, from a perception point of view, it looks like something is wrong. So we need to correct that. So we are addressing. with regard to the death there on the
provincial.
The board has reflected on this at this last meeting, and we have also sought the advice of our legal division in the department, and we've met the AG to discuss the matter. And last week Tuesday, the audit committee met also to look at this matter. So now, in order to open a qualification in the audit committee, that there will be no qualification because currently it is dead, everything is over. What that means is we are now doing what we call a governance audit, a governance framework audit. So they are auditing the government, the producing part, to check whether all the oversight institutions that are there are actually going effective. However, what we are going to be doing is that we have recommended to the board that I should be reviewed and the board must recommend to the minister the name of the person who is chair, so that I can come in the board. So that process is under the chair. Mm-hmm. There's two issues here that have been passed. They've
indicating that the legality has not maintained a conflict of interest. How you give instructions, your time, check yourself to your account. And that's why this is not my concern, because any scandal under GAAP, I think, is that there is that dedication of what is it? Relocation of duty.
Separation
of duty. How do we see in this incident? Particularly conflict of interest. You are a commissioner, you are a counting officer, you care yourself, who are you asking? So I just think there's something wrong. Even if from a practical point of view, it's like that, it can be. And the minister is maybe that you are supposed to have full mind of accountability of that good government. I was the chairperson of audit committee. And because I'm the chairperson of the ANC in Parliament, I was told I cannot audit myself. So I had to recuse myself as the chairperson of the audit committee because I'm the impact officer of the ANC in Parliament. That I must be audited. How can I audit myself? So I just think that legality there, if the policy is like that, we have to change the policy. It means somebody has made policy decisions. So I just think that's another attention we need to pay to that policy which says anyway, that cannot be an accounting officer.
Yeah, this is a quick one.
Yeah. I think he explained it's the act. And I assume it's the compensation part. That's it. Even the board itself does not have executive power. It's only to advise if the minister likes it, that advice he might take it, or he will not. I think the issue here is about the act itself.
Yes.
I think in moving what we need to do, we need to look at the act and then say, what is it that needs to be done? I think we play our role as a committee, and then they must play their role as the entity and also the DG here as the department of how this act is supposed to be looked at. Because for me, it's part and parcel of the act that needs to be amended in a way. So I'll say, I mean, he cannot respond because he explained the act.
Yeah.
It will be because if he responds, he will contradict the act and then he will be in trouble or whatever. So that's the point for me, sir. Good of what they've tried to do, but I think if the act says it has to be an official, it will be an official. But we must look at how do we look at the act itself.
Thanks, point.
I think I agree with that. We just have to look at it as the committee, because really,
we should
be in the competition side, we're still in conflict. We only sit there and serve. It's just a get your time. But we take it for the
committee. Thank you, the next one is the tariff code. I think the other members asked a very question about who bears the responsibility for the difference between what the medical provider tax and what the commercial pays. The anonymous accountant, the abstract, as the commercial part has full responsibility for medical costs. Now, the tariffs that the service providers are using, there are different tariffs that are there. There are those national tariffs which are announced by the Ministry of Health, and there are guaranteed tariffs that are announced by the Competition Commission. The Commissioner's tariff in most cases is higher than those of the National Health. So we do find in certain situations, for example, where a doctor charges
letter, I think I did indicate in the past that you may charge less than the tariff of the commission fund, and the expense as well is that we pay in by the tariff amount. And we also, when it charges over and above the tariff, we stick to the tariff amount. We don't pay over and above. The law does not pay less than the tariff. And that's the amount that the doctor is comfortable with. He cannot add that tariff to the worker. With the inland duty, we take full responsibility. As of knowing, I've never had an instance where the doctor has taken action against, like in the medical industry, where the doctor has taken action against the beneficiaries of the country for the different inequalities in the region. In most instances, as well, sometimes doctors are not aware of it and they charge over. And when you explain to them, they do accept. On the issue of the rebate, what I remember, the Act provides for the DG, the accounting officer, to incentivize employers who have demonstrated through the accident profile that indeed they've managed, it looks like they've managed to have the safety very well, and there's either no report of accident, or there's been a decline in the incidents that they've come through, that should incentivize them to improve the risk management in the area of occupational OHS, health and safety. So that is it's provided for by the law. And the compensation has what they've done is that over the period of 3 years, we've done that analysis. And where we've identified those employers, then we have given them a rebate. It's an incentive that they must get. As I said to you, that we're not able to achieve that this year. In the past, they used to get checks. Now, because of FICA, we are required to pay the money into their banking accounts. And I think that is where the new culture has not yet taken off with employers. Most of the money we think is given to the dealer to compensate that it goes to the bank account and the bank statement. That's not very much. Somebody is uncomfortable with that. But it's something that they need to come to grips with because want to pay them their money. So that is the intention of the legislation. However, with the new assessment model that we want to introduce in the future, we would do our this exactly because there might be no need for it. Because that new model suggests the following, that the higher your incidence of accident, the higher the premiums will go. So it's the polluter pays. So the lesser the incident, you get a discount. It means that your premium comes down. So we don't have to pay you the money like it is the case now. Just an adjustment of the premium, you have to go up and come down, like normal short term insurance premium. So that's the new model that is coming. With regard to the remaining provinces, indeed, we will open up service points in those provinces to try to address that. The organizational redesign exercise is exactly what it's trying to do also. It should try also to create a new look of the office, how it should look like, how it should be structured. At the moment, what we have done it on the basis of the need, what we believe in the province. This is what they are currently giving us level of debt. We're giving them such a number of people for now. But that is not scientifically determined. So the new conventional design process is bring it back to that state. For 3 days, having done our exercise, we need to be structure that we should look like. And that's the structure that we want to get a list of structures approved so that we can be able to implement that across the country. I think on the issue of vacancies, we will come back to it next week. On the issue of rate of assessment, risk, and the structure of the game. the act provides that where, let's say for example, construction. Construction is a high risk industry because people climb scaffolding, they go high up and they can fall, they can break. So the incidence is that that accident will be higher as opposed to office work. And if there is a cost to come to office, say they share a computer the whole day, the incidence of you falling from somewhere is much better than somebody who's going up the ladder and scaffolding and all that. So the premium we charge would definitely be different for an office worker and the construction worker. That's what makes the difference in the premium. However, the Act also provides that an employer can indicate, for example, out of the total payroll, how many people in this payroll are working hybrid and how many are office bound. And the tariff is structured around that, depending on the number of people who are in the office and those that are working outside in the hybrid environment, the tariff will change. And that's why the consultant goes there to say, increase the number of workers in office so that we can reduce those who are deemed to be on higher rates so that the premium can come down. And the difference in the premium is what they pay the consultant. If we do agree and we give them an approval that your new salary should be less now because you have more people in the office. The reason is because they know that we can't inspect each and every application. We can't go to each and every employer to inspect whether you have 50, 60, 80 people in the office. So we rely mostly on the salary that that employer can come in. But in future, we would like to increase our inspections so that we can go in very fast. This information that you've got to be had about which is where it would have moved to. Even the DGF dealt with the issue of the go live, and I will indeed ask the finalist person to welcome them to deal with the suspense account issues and the issue of the unclaimed funds, the outstanding unclaimed. The issue of the provincial office in Cape Town, I'll take it up. The DDG is here. We had appointed the head of the compensation fund in the province to give for all the complaints that we've done. Just need to follow up and make sure that process is respected and is being implemented. However, on the issue of the general border, I think I've already received the response from the office. Unfortunately, the backing of CPS, we've dealt with this matter, and unfortunately, it's a complicated matter. We've done what could be done, and we were still committed to finalize this problem. This matter, but the matter of perception, has been coming to the office for starting to deal with the problems that we also have. And we dealt with the matter, and I think this matter was dealt with by the Federal Institutional FEMA. We looked at this matter, it has been a complicated matter in terms of justification, and FEMA recreated the matter on the grounds of the information that they had at the point in time. One was the issue of what do we call it? Employment records, where it was deemed that it was suspect. And there were issues also around whether the person was injured to work on that record, whether the injury is related to work or not. On the balance of capability, we came to the conclusion that we cannot jeopardize the individual because we don't have our 100%. We should give the benefit of doubt to the person. If the border, the final adjudication in the matter will approve the claim. And among the things, I think about 100,000 rand was given to the border. And I think I've got a report the following week that my response was to the Ministry of Mobility before it went away. And now we then receive another visit by Mr. Border, telling him to kill himself again in the office to say, there is additional compensation that he wants to get. So it is indeed a difficult, it's a complicated case. We are on top of it. There are some documents that are still waiting to see. So what I've said to FEMA, if we can't put less images in the benefit, however, we have also indicated to the sector that in the event our investigation comes to fruition and we found that we defrauded that, the law will take the trial court. I think that was even in writing also. So we're on top of this issue. I don't know why now it's
just a quick one, Chairperson. Can I just ask that kind of information is communicated back to me? Because otherwise, I get these nut cases. Maybe it's a nut case, and I need to be able to just have three sentences from the fund saying we've dealt with this and this is the outcome. Then I can just close my file. But I don't get the feedback. Obviously, you're giving it to him, but not to me. So I don't know that this is a guy who's threatening to blow himself up and all this. Otherwise, you know, I just feel stupid. Again, like my colleague here, I don't have the information, so I don't know what to do. And then they pile up in my inbox, and I don't know. So if I, as the person who referred it, can just get a short email, just two sentences to say, listen, this has happened, then I cannot worry about it. Because my file just gets big because I don't know that. There's obviously stuff that's happening, but I don't know that, and therefore I get frustrated because I keep getting these complaints. I don't need all the personal details of the person, but just action was taken, 1, 2, and 3, then I can close the file.
However, we do have employees that are on contract, directly employed by the department. And this exercise, organizational redesign, which is trying to determine the good establishment of the compensation. What we are saying, we are doing what we call a contract between us and the union, where we have said once the exercise is done, these are the things that we are guaranteeing, not your job. And endeavor to absorb all those contract breakers that are having to go into our. That is an endeavor that we send to try to absorb them. Depending on the outcome of that exercise, we say how many people we need actually decentralized, because we may need more people than what you would have done with the system. So they will get a best reference that people can bring this to the box. Thank you.
I signed a contract and started myself. I get a pipe as it said all night. Each one of those is in contract directly.
People at the time incorrectly allocated that. So that's how we see it. law of translation, not money or the issue of unclaimed money. I think we spoke to the SPA, we can say there was a government that was an issue. We will just see your town. That would have been. We went out on media on Sunday, that was March this year. We received, I think, 1.5 thousand of the people.
When you say everybody should open a bank account, did you consider the problems with people having at the bank? That they must have basically, they must earn a certain amount of money. How are you going to help go to the account? Because they are going to be unable to open their account. I think it's on page 37. And this thing, slide 37, this thing of taking things to the newspaper, which radio, some they don't have. They are from the real Kundulans. And I think whatever we do, that's what we're proposing, should actually filter down there. Because it seems that we are doing for those, and for Chinalema Kaya, there's nothing. And those who cannot have an account. And I'm not lying to you. I've been in Standard Bank last Tuesday, they were trying to open accounts, schedule. They can't. The bank said, wait, the safety cannot be issued safety. They don't. That's not what I hear about it. The rest, we'll see them just break down and let's see the next time.
Yeah, so I think just in addition, I once had this argument from the lady. But I think I appreciated that word, I guess, about people who must bring forward their application. Your bank account, your ID, I think that things like that. We appreciate. But I think we need to take it further. In addressing remote areas, how do you plan to reach rural areas for the benefits that the department has, like your compensation fund and other things? I think within the program of the department, you need to have that leaflet going down to rural areas. So in order to address the point that Honorable Abdullah said, I think on the other hand, maybe even ourselves, then in the constituencies where we are, I think we need to spread the gospel that wake up, there is this is what government requires of people of this nation. And that's what I said.
I think I want to add on the special work information, because really in rural areas, it's difficult. There are houses which doesn't even have the information, but there are schools to go to one. You can leave schools of schools giving the information to children, all sorts of things. You can go to the school in the state, and you can go to the school. Really, and if you do that, there will be less of continuing about what you say. So I think we've come to the end of our meeting today. Thank you for your patience and comprehension. As long as you understand that we also want to be seen doing a difference to the people who have nothing, and I'm sure yourself also, that's your responsibility to give a difference to the people. So we can't agree on everything.
go to the handlessness from our side, we only want more. Because we are the ones that are coming to affect the people, honestly. So we really want you to do your best. It's not going to be, because every resource that comes in front of us, we really want to unpack and get the money to the community so that we are sure that you are doing it. So, I just want to say thank you to me. Tuesday. After me. Oh, please. Yeah. After that, I will close. And we love to serve the inside. That's something. Okay, so we need that. Okay. So,
is very available, but I've never heard of these.
Thank you.